John 5, 1 to 15. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there and had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd and was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. May God add his rich blessings to the reading of his word. And John, do you want to come forward? I want to say a prayer for Reverend Barrett as he shares with us. God, we just thank you for this opportunity again to worship, and just ask your blessing on John's words. May they speak to us. Speak to us out of maybe our abundance as we seek to share with those who may have needs. Lord, just may your words have rich meaning for us this morning through John. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I've really enjoyed getting to know Pastor Steve, and I see a lot of familiar faces in the crowd, so I really am excited to be here. Just a little bit about me. I'm the executive director at Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services. Yeah, I don't know. It's a long time ago. We came up with that name, and we just call ourselves CVCCS. It kind of sounds like a community college, but nevertheless, it's okay. We're starting to get brand familiarity. We've been around for a good bit now, so to change that, it would be a little bit counterproductive right now. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. So before CVCCS, and I've been there since June of 2021, I was a pastor for 7 years, and COVID hit, so that kind of derailed that for now. But we really appreciate you guys so much for being such a great partner to us. We are so happy to have you guys as part of our family, not only the family of God, but family of being partners in our neighborhoods. And it's so important, especially in these times. So thank you so much. So just a couple updates, and I have about 25 minutes, so we'll go to about almost a quarter of it, I guess, here. So we have a summer lunch program. We call it our Summer Lunch Club, and we are so excited for this program. We've had this for years, and it targets food insecurity. Believe it or not, there is a lot of food insecurity in our area, it causes some issues. Kiddos really don't have access to meals. The only meals they get are during school hours. So that's two kind of square meals a day for a lot of kids that struggle with poverty and food insecurity. So summer lunch, we want to keep that going throughout throughout the summer. So through from June 13th through August 11th, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays from 11:30 to 12:30, we have summer lunch clubs, and we strategically set them up in high food insecure areas. So we have Florey Park, we have Country Club Apartments, West Earl Community Park out in Leola, and then at Breakout Ministries, which is in Leola as well. So we work with the CV School District so they can help get the word out. And so we make the meals. You don't want to have my meals. But we have a host of volunteers, amazing young ladies, older ladies, young men, older men, that help with this. And basically the host sites, they serve the food, Bible activities, Bible stories, games, interacting with the families, and it's an incredible hands and feet ministry. So previously, we were getting some government funding because we wanted to be able to provide the meals efficiently, but we are no longer doing that. We're doing our own thing. We're fully funding it. And all of our programs now are free from government restrictions, and that's a huge plus. So our funding, we basically around 3,000 meals are served each summer. We calculate, they're about $5 a retail, each meal for retail cost, which really isn't that much. And currently we have 850 meals raised. So, again, it's fully funded by CVCCS, and, we're really excited about that, and, just looking forward to see what God's gonna do in providing, for our neighbors in need. So for any other updates, our website is cvccs.org. My card's on that back table, and some literature if you'd like to take it, and a free pen, so go for it, and, just keep updated on our website. We're always posting stuff. I'm always, you know, updating things. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. So yeah, we're excited. Any questions, you know, feel free to come after, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions. So let's get to the word. So keep your Bibles open if you have them open to John 5, 1 through 15. We'll be referencing that as our main text. But we live in challenging times, amen? It is something else right now. You know, and here are some surprising facts in Lancaster County. It's a very sweet, charming, scenic community that we live in, isn't it? 10.2% live below the poverty line in our county. And this stat's actually higher within the CV School District. It's about 10.3%. Central Pennsylvania Food Bank, well, they distribute on average of over 5.5 million pounds of food each month. More than 67 million pounds of food per year through 1,000 partner agencies and programs, which includes CVCCS. So as Christ followers, we're all called to be salt and light, right? But did you know there's actually a right way and a wrong way to be charitable? It's pretty interesting. We were talking about rules just a few minutes ago with the kiddos, and society has kind of made up these rules on how to care for the poor. And a lot of these rules are based on a lot of limitations. So what we're going to see this morning, and at CVCCS, we've seen this. In our zeal to help others, believe it or not, we can actually do harm to those we're trying to help. So based on our main text, let's look no further than Jesus. We're going to examine three key elements that will transcend your view of charity this morning. So number one is Jesus used discernment. Number one, Jesus used discernment. Number two, Jesus formed connections. Jesus formed connections. And number three, Jesus gave expectations. And the big idea this morning, if you don't get anything else, get this, is that you can't meet the need unless you have a biblical view of charity. You can't meet the need unless you have a biblical view of charity. So our first point, let's go back to this. Jesus used discernment. So let's go back to verses 1 through 6, verse 6 specifically. Note this here. Jesus asked the man a very key question. Did you get it when we read the text? He said, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? So in order to truly help someone, they have to want to be helped. We see that in our society rules, trying to help and put bandages on problems, and people don't really want the help. Discernment when meeting someone's need is impossible if we don't know the context of a person's situation. So it's okay to ask personal questions. Again, one of those societal rules is don't ask questions, just give. Right? I've been guilty of that myself. It's okay to ask personal questions if someone comes to you for help. If they can't or won't answer, that's actually a red flag. So here are some red flags. Beware of these things. Pushy and aggressive tactics. Have any of you ever experienced that? When you go to help somebody, the situation turns very pushy. It turns aggressive. Another thing is unable to provide reputable details. An inconsistent story. We see a lot of this at CVCCS. Excessive playing on your emotions. Strange names, phone numbers, email addresses, duplicate information. I could share some fun names with you guys that we get. cash only requests, refusing to better their situation, refusing to go to a shelter as a last resort. So in John 10:6, Jesus said this. He said, "Remember, it is I who am sending you out. Prove yourselves as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves." So what does Jesus mean here? A wise person anticipates their course of action and then plans biblically based strategic actions accordingly. So ask yourself this question. So how do I use discernment when I'm trying to help someone? Does this person need relief, rehabilitation, or development? So what do we mean by this? So relief, that's actually meeting an urgent need. It's a temporary thing. It's not meant to be a long-term solution. So tragically, in many charitable circles, we see this a lot at CBCCS, most cases are treated as a relief situation. Even if someone isn't in need of relief, it ends up being a long-term kind of band-aid, but it's not supposed to be. So second thing, rehabilitation. This is working to help them become stable. It's a long-term kind of outlook. It's getting them back on track. And then we have development. That's ongoing. That's discipleship. That's looking to get them to a better position than before. It's self-sustainability. So at CVCCS, we partner with an organization called True Charity Initiative. They're from Joplin, Missouri. One of their clients admitted it was very easy to take advantage of well-meaning people that lack discernment. So as a result, they were able to continue in a cycle of addiction, and it's all they knew. The truth is most people feeding an addiction, they don't know any better. Instead, they need us to show them a better way, the truth, and the life. So asking discernment in action, it looks something like this. So ask questions and investigate. So asking questions about their situation helps establish healthy boundaries and accountability. So for example, how long has this been going on? Why aren't you working? Where else have you found help? So things like that. So second thing is resist the urge to jump in and solve the issue. This is a huge struggle within charitable circles. That which is presented as crisis rarely is. It's pretty surprising, right? So don't get swept up in urgency. Step back, breathe, get the whole picture. And then back in our main verse, again, verse 6. Jesus asked that question, do you want to get well, before he did anything for the man? Jesus asked, do you want to get well, before he did anything? He didn't just rush right in and heal the man. So again, our main point, you can't meet the need unless you have a biblical view of charity. So our second point is this, Jesus formed connections. Jesus formed connections. So look again at verse 7. The man said, I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me. So again, one of our partners, the True Charity Initiative, defines the essence of poverty this way. This is a very interesting definition. When I heard this, my mind was blown. Poverty is complex and is caused by a myriad of factors, but essentially comes down to broken relationships. Wow, right? Wow. Think about that. That is something else. So you and I, we can introduce people to something they may have never known. Love, hope, stability, a better way. Like Jesus exhibited, we can be a lifeline for those starved of healthy relationships. Just take a look around. We see that all over now, right? Especially from the pandemic. Loneliness is a huge issue. So there was a client that went for help at a Bible-believing Christian organization. And after she successfully completed one of their programs, she commented on what actually made the difference for her finally overcoming poverty and addiction. Was it necessarily the program? Well, listen to what she said. She said, for the first time in her life, she experienced unconditional love, genuine people, and real relationships. Real relationships. As a result of seeing the church act like the church, she surrendered her life to Christ. How amazing is that? So here's what happened because of that domino effect. The Lord gave her a burden to help those headed down the same path she was on. And her thriving relationship with Jesus, it set biblical discipleship in motion, which affected many lives after that. So Dr. Marvin Olasky, he has a book called The Tragedy of American Compassion. And one of the main things I took away from this book is this, is it establishes two principles of charity. It's called, one of them is charity with tongues, and the other is charity without tongues. So it's really important that we know the definition between the two. Again, this really, it blew my mind. But charity with tongues, it means no touching. It's literally contrary to how Jesus cared for those in need. It's kind of just throwing money, anything, you know, that a quick fix at the need. And oftentimes, it's so we kind of feel good about ourselves for thinking we've helped somebody. I've been there. So just throwing money or putting a Band-Aid on a problem never actually solves the real issue. And then here's in contradiction, charity without tongues is this. It's defined in three parts. So something called reciprocity, which just means engaging in real conversation, genuine conversation, taking the time to listen to somebody intently, try to establish a connection. It's amazing when you share your story and they share their story, even if it's not the same story, how a connection, you know, gets established. So accountability is the second thing about charity without tongues, is speaking the truth in love when trust is breached or damaged. We have a hard time doing this, right? In the church, we kind of tend to turn the other cheek out of context a bit, and we just feel like we don't have a voice to share at all. But speaking the truth in love in a loving way, especially when boundaries are crossed, when trust is breached, it's so important, so imperative. And then the third thing about charity without tongues is boundaries. Again, setting healthy limits. So did you know that truly showing unconditional love, it consists of setting and maintaining healthy boundaries? We often don't think that when we think love. Setting and maintaining healthy boundaries is important for any relationship, especially those in charity that you're trying to establish. So sadly, the body of Christ and charitable organizations, we struggle, guys, right? We struggle with the charity without tongues approach because it takes time. It takes time. Your shoes may get dirty. Your carpet may get stained. It's uncomfortable. There's no quick fix. It requires accountability and follow-up. Two things that are very uncomfortable. So one more item to highlight as an addition. A key element that often gets missed in the entire process is this. Can we point the person in need back to their natural relationships as long as it is not an abusive or toxic situation? So believe it or not, we can weaken somebody's social connections, also known as social capital, by our good intentions to help meet the need. So if possible, is there any way to connect them back to their immediate loved ones? Is it possible that we can help restore estranged or fractured relationships? So Philippians 2:4 says, look out for another's interests, not just for your own. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. So ask questions. Do some investigating. Where is your family? Do you have friends or neighbors who should be aware of what's going on? It's important to ask questions. Again, our big idea, again, you can't meet the need unless you have a biblical view of charity. And then our third point is this. Jesus gave expectations. Jesus gave expectations. So verse 14 that we read, it's often taken out of context, inferring that Jesus required sinless perfection from this man that was healed. The entirety of Scripture refutes this, as only Jesus was sinless. The proper context is this, is that Jesus gave the man accountability and expectations. Accountability is good. Accountability is good. It is not ungodly to have expectations of people. But in many charitable circles today, this is not a popular view. Because charity, it's often conditioned with entitlement. It's not unloving to expect people to do their part. It's actually just the opposite. It's cruel to send a message that a person has nothing of worth to offer. Being needed is the ultimate affirmation of human worth. So establishing dignity is powerful. It's powerful. Expectation implicitly communicates worth and trust. So here's another story. True Charity Initiative, they described another client who was involved in a program called the Worth Shop. So this program allows clients to work at their facility in exchange for a week's worth of food. So instead of a handout, this exchange preserves dignity and awakens worth in people, while also making a small break in the cycle of dependency that traps so many. So this particular client paired up with a volunteer from the workshop to make jewelry. Pretty cool. The jewelry is sold in order to further their mission. So as a result, she earned food for the week. So she described this experience by saying this. Get ready for this. I didn't know there was something I could still do. Wow. Does that not tug on the strings of your heart? And being made of God in God's image, we are beings of dignity. We're beings of feeling that we have worth and affirmation, right? And that's the way the Lord made us. He loves us so much. Yes, we are far from perfect this side of heaven, right? But man, for Jesus to die for us, rose from the grave for us, this is amazing. What a love story. And we've really lost in our society today that feeling of dignity. Have we not? People are struggling so much with their sense of worth. We see it all the time. They're struggling so much. And it breaks our heart because they're made in God's image. It's so heartbreaking. So the Lord himself, he's compassionate, he is just, and he's expectant. So a couple of examples. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. In James 5:11, the second part of the verse, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 through 23. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. Ezekiel 22, 29. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. And then Deuteronomy 32 through 3. When you and your children return to the Lord, your God, and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. So just a couple of random examples there. So lest we forget, remember the true struggle lies in all of what we're talking about today is this. This is the true struggle. Paul notes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood. And if you could just see what is going on in our world today, you could see this. There are some deep-rooted things going on. So our battle is not primarily physical or tangible, but it's spiritual and unseen. The spiritual addresses the hidden root causes, which is why the devil does not want anybody getting out of destructive cycles such as dependency. One of our main focuses at our organization is to not be a handout, but to be a hand up. So we want people, you know, there's always going to be those regular clients that we serve, and we're absolutely fine serving those clients, and we'll continue to serve them. But we want to see a majority of our clients on the path to that being self-sustainable, to not having to rely on government handouts or even us long-term. We love our clients, but we want to see them go. That's the point, right? They're family, but we want to maybe see them once or twice a year instead of every month. So that's what our goal is to help people to live self-sustaining lives and get them back on their feet, to understanding who they are in Christ, that they're made in God's image, that they have something of worth to offer this world. I mean, just thinking back to that story with our partner at True Charity saying, I didn't know there was something I could still do. I mean, that just makes your heart cry out. Because we were made to work. Work is not bad. The Lord set that in motion. It's good. He set work and Sabbath in motion. He said work and rest. We have rhythms that the Lord wants us to follow. And we see it all in our society today. just the lack of dignity and that respect there for how God put things in motion. So again, you can't meet the need unless you have a biblical view of charity. So we looked at three key elements from Jesus showing how to properly meet charitable needs biblically. So again, number one, that was Jesus used discernment. And remember, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay. If somebody comes to you for help and they won't answer, again, that's a major red flag. We see it all day long. People don't want to give us details. They don't want to give us, you know, kind of, okay, what's actually going on? Very minimal stuff. So that's a red flag. Number two, Jesus formed connections. Remember, somebody's dignity and respect and worth is on the line. And real respect for them, establishing connections, listening to them. You tell your story, they tell theirs, establish friendships, establish connections. And number three, Jesus gave expectations. It is okay to have expectations of people. It is okay to expect somebody to do their part. So, and again, our main point, you can't meet the need unless you have a biblical view of charity. So I hope this enlightened you a little bit. And again, we thank you so much for your partnership. And if you have any questions, feel free to track me down after service. I'd love to talk to you. Would you like me to pray, Pastor? Okay. All right. Let's pray, guys. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your love and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you've made each human being, Lord, in your image, and we just thank you so much for that. What a miracle. And Lord, I just pray as we go out of here today that we'd see other people not as its, not as objects, Lord, but as people made in your image. And Lord, we just are so grateful, Lord, for you and your sacrifice for us. Lord, we just thank you for this season. And Lord, just as we come about celebrating Easter and as we observe Lent, and Lord, as we celebrate your resurrection to come, Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you didn't stay dead in that grave. We thank you we serve a risen Savior, and Lord, you're alive, and we thank you that we can have fellowship with you. Thank you for making a way back to you, Lord, that we can be with you, not only now, but for all eternity. Lord, we just thank you again for this church, and what a blessing Pastor Steve is and the flock is here at Whitmer. And we just ask you to just bless them, continue to bless them. And Lord, just thank you for their partnership and willingness to really help with our neighbors in actual need, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of CBCCS that, Lord, we can be a hands and feet ministry. And Lord, that we desire to help people to actually know you and be a better them. So Lord, we just pray for our clients and those in need this morning. And Lord, we just thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.